This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, you can go to Hebrews 4:2. I'll be there in just a few minutes. And we're talking today from the subject of staying in faith, staying in faith. As a pastor, I understand the importance of teaching faith, on a consistent basis, as that is how we live and that's how we win in life. Faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. Once you're saved, you're saved. Now you need to know how to live out this Christian life victoriously. And that is what faith is all about. One thing that I've noticed is that it is, as a pastor, from a pastoral standpoint of view, I've learned noticed that it's easy to get people in faith, but the struggle can be, or the challenge can be, getting people to stay in faith for the long haul. Does that make sense? And of course, we know that there's different obstacles. The enemy tries to bring thoughts and those kind of things. But today, this lesson is really a partly faith refresher and partly giving you some points to how to really stay in faith, that when challenges arise, when troubles arise, that I don't fall back in my faith and get over in fear or doubt, but I stay in faith all the way through and see God do some amazing things. I've also noticed something else. I've noticed it's interesting that two people can come to the same church and hear the same word and get two different results. Hebrews 4:2, it's up on the screen. It says, "For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them." Watch this. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And as I kind of meditated on this word, you know, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. And so the Holy Spirit says, but that's not enough. You got it. God has done his part. You got it. We know faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the word of God. But because we understand that the will of God is not automatic and he needs our permission and our participation to usher his will into my life, I have to hear the word and receive the word. You got it. And as I receive the word, you know, it'll take fruit in my life and those kind of things. And so faith makes the difference. Everybody say faith makes a difference. All right, we'll put my definition up on the screen. It says faith is the supernatural power of God made available through man. So it's a supernatural thing, all right, whereby man can transform conditions, circumstances, and situations in the natural realm over which he has been given authority over based on the express will of God. And so it is the will of God that we have dominion. It is the will of God that we subdue. It is the will of God that we live on top. It is the will of God that we conquer. It is the will of God that we be in health. You got it, you know, and these things are only going to happen to the degree that my faith is where it needs to be. Two very familiar passages of scripture. Romans 1:17 teaches us, "For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by your paycheck." That's right. You got to pay attention, right? Because the Bible didn't say anything about a paycheck, did it? The Bible didn't say that the just shall live by the economy, did it? No, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. That's right, the just shall live by faith. So we live by faith, and we must understand that faith is not a spare tire. Faith is not something that you go to in case of an emergency. Faith is how we live every day. I live by faith. I wake up, you got it, in expectation. I wake up in gratitude, in expectation. Gratitude is because he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way, and I have the activity of my limbs. He gave me another day on this earth. So I wake up in gratitude, but I also wake up in expectation that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I start declaring my day. Father, I thank you for peace today. I thank you for prosperity today. I thank you for nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in my life. You got it? I thank you for joy unspeakable. What are you doing? I'm declaring my world today with the words of my mouth. Does that make sense? All right, so we live by faith. Now, 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever," or you could say whosoever, "is born of God does what? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome, and my faith that's going to cause me to win in life. So listen, so we live by faith and we win by faith. Everybody repeat after me. Say, I live by faith and I win by faith. All right. So let me give you a good backdrop and a good understanding. So what you have right now and where you are right now is not final. Sometimes you'll get to a place in life, seem like things were going good, and then you just kind of hit a slump, and you're going like this, and the enemy will try to tell you, you know, this is just how it's going to be, and it's never going to get better, and you might as well just accept it. No, what you have right now and where you are right now is not final. It is subject to the power of faith. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And so watch this. So if I can believe, it becomes possible for me. That's the bottom line. And, you know, and not being mean, but it doesn't even matter if you can't believe what I'm believing for. If I can believe, it becomes possible for me, because the ball is now in my court. And to the degree I find it in the Word of God, the promise in the Word of God, and I believe it, it now becomes possible for me. See, well, but it's taking long. Well, when walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. But I have to be willing to wait forever. Why do I have to be willing to wait forever? I have to let the devil know I am going to outlast you. Does that make sense? So weapons may form, but they're not going to prosper. I might bend, but I'm not going to break. You got it? Nothing by any means is able to hurt you. And that is what you have to understand. No devil in hell can hurt you. No body can come against you. You got it? Nothing can hurt you. All right. So, I'm getting excited, getting ahead of myself too. All right. Y'all getting blessed? All right. So in life, let me give this to you real quick. In life, you will be ruled by either one of these two things: external circumstances or eternal concepts. External circumstances or eternal concepts. External circumstances. What is that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. This is by what you see in the sense realm. And how many know we can't live our lives by what we see? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight or sense realm. So I'm not worried about, you know, what I see or don't see, or what it feels like, or what I heard somebody saying. I don't walk by sense realm. That's external circumstances. I live by eternal concepts. This is by the revelation that I have of the Word of God, that he's never going to let me down, that he's never going to break my heart, that he's not going to leave me nor forsake me, that he is going to be with me till the end. And that is how I live my life. All right. And Paul begins to talk in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That word temporal means that they're subject to change. He says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul here is teaching us to stay focused on what really matters. And the key is really learning how to stay in faith. I have to stay in faith. I can't just get in faith, but I have to stay in faith. And that is why, Pastor, you know, I teach you the Word of God in a simplistic manner where you can understand it, so you can walk out of here. And it doesn't matter what the challenge is. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship challenge, if it's a money challenge, if it's a health challenge. It doesn't matter what the challenge is. I've given you tools from the Word of God that no matter what it is, you can overcome it by faith. Does that make sense? All right. Well, that's a good place to clap. Yeah, I felt some of y'all wanted to clap. All right. I'm going to give you three keys to staying in faith. How many keys? Three keys. I may give you four, but I'm definitely going to give you three. I woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit gave me a fourth one, so we're just going to see how it goes. Amen? All right. So I'm going to give you my three, and then we're going to go through each one of them. Are y'all ready to go? All right. Number one. Everybody say number one. All right, with a strong voice, what's number one? Be courageous. Okay, that was pretty strong, but number two has to be a little bit stronger than that. So number one is be courageous. All right, are y'all ready for number two? All right, what's number two?
Be convinced.
Okay, that's good, yeah, be convinced. And then number three,
be
courageous, be convinced, and be consistent. Ooh, we're going to have a good time this morning. Are you excited that you came to church on today? All right, so be courageous, all right? Go with me to Joshua, the 1st chapter, verses 7 through 9. To be bold in faith, I must keep my focus on what God's word says and never move from it regardless of what it looks like. I must never move from what the word of God says regardless of what it looks like. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it louder for the people in the front. I must never move. You know, they normally say for the people in the back. Okay, y'all get it in a minute. I must never move. You got it. I must never move from what God says, or God's word says, regardless of what it looks like. Why are you pushing that? Because what happens is you'll come in, you'll get the word, you'll get charged up, and you go out there, and 2 days will go by, and 4 days will go by, and 7 days will go by, and you won't see it, and the enemy will start telling you it's not going to work, and you're not going to make it, and the sickness is not going to go away, and the marriage is not going to get better. But you can never move, watch this now, from what the word of God says, because the word of God stands on its own. It's just like rain that came down and returned not hither. It will not return unto you void. It will accomplish the thing whether it's sent out to do. So if he says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, guess what? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, my thing is, I do it all in concert with, you know, with what the doctor says, because I believe that God gave us doctors. So, you know, I will, you know, the doctor says, hey, this is going on. No problem. You know, no problem. I'll take the medicine, but I'm taking it in faith. And when I take the pill, Father, I thank you, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'll take the surgery. That doesn't mean I'm in doubt because of the surgery. No, no, no. If there's a natural way for me to heal my body, then praise God. So I'll do the surgery. You got it? I have no problem with all that, but I'm doing all of it in concert with my level of faith based on the word of God and the promises I found that Jesus took 39 stripes, and by his stripes I'm already healed. He bore my sickness and disease on a tree, so I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. Does that make sense? All right, Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. All right, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. How many of you have to confess the word day and night and day and night? He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He says, for then. So if you do these things, if you don't let the word depart from you, if you meditate on it day and night, you got it. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then verse 9, you got to get this. He says, have not I commanded thee? There's a difference between a request and a command. See, if I say, Ellen, you know, may I have $100, I have requested $100 from Ellen. But if I say, Ellen, you better give me $100, I have now commanded, which I wouldn't do that, you understand? But I'm now commanded the $100. Does that make sense? So there's a difference between a request and a command. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so now, as I begin to read this, I see that God commands Joshua to be courageous. He didn't request Joshua to be courageous. He commands him to be courageous. So obviously, there was a level of boldness that he had not yet exhibited. So watch this. You are courageous whether you realize it or not. All right? Courage had to be in Joshua if God commanded it to come out of Joshua, right? So you already have courage in you, even if you haven't seen it. You just have not made a demand on it yet, but it's already in you. Why? Because you are a partaker of the divine nature of God. And so if God is bold and courageous, then boldness and courage is in you. Because watch this, when we receive God, we receive everything he is in all that he has. You know, God is love. So love is on the inside of you. You know, I can't stand them folks. I ain't gonna love nobody. No, love's on the inside of you. You just haven't made a demand on it yet. I'm just going to leave you alone. Yeah. All right. So boldness and courage are lying dormant in us until we make a demand for it to come forth. So there's a potential on the inside of you that you might not even realize. All right. Everybody say courage. Courage. That was pretty good. One more time. Say courage. Courage. Oh, I like that. Yeah. You said it courageous. All right. Courage writes the check that potential cashes. See, nothing is ever going to happen in life until you get out of the boat, Peter, and see that God is really real and you can walk on water. All right?
So courage writes the check that potential cashes. Courage calls the devil's bluff and puts heaven on notice that you need a miracle. You got to understand that now, my pastor was here the other night. Not only does he give you his word, but there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. So the problem is not the word. The problem is not the ability of the word or the power of the word. The issue is, am I going to receive it by faith? And not just receive it by faith, but act on what I believe. That's what really faith is. Faith is acting on what you believe. As saints of God, we believe the word of God. So am I going to act on the word of God? Am I going to be bold enough to tell the doctor, hey, doc, just so you know, we're going to work out something together, but I'm a born-again believer. You understand? Jesus is on the inside, so healing is already on the inside. You might not even understand it, but he bore my sickness and disease over 2,000 years ago on a cross. So now I do believe in the natural working along with the spirit to bring forth the will of God in my life. But are you going to be bold enough to tell the doctor, hey, it's just not me and you, but it's me, you, and Jesus up in here? And when you're bold enough to let them know it's me, you, and Jesus, it calls the devil's bluff, because the devil's hoping in that moment when the doctor's just told you that he's seen a spot and you need to come back, the devil is hoping that you're going to put your head down and start saying, well, I know that my auntie went through this, or I know that my mama. No, no, no. That is not what we do. We walk by and not by. So I build this courage up on the inside, because the word of God is an incorruptible seed. And I already know what the word of God says, and I'm bold enough to speak the word of God. And if I keep saying what the word of God says and keep saying what the word of God says, guess what's going to happen? It's got to come to pass in my life. See, the devil will show up and hand you something that doesn't belong to you. He'll start talking to you. You got to learn how to talk back to the devil. You got to tell him, no, I didn't order this. Take this mess back. It is amazing. You got it. People give you something that don't belong to you, and you'll talk to them, but you won't talk to the devil. Let's just say you're going to a really nice restaurant, and you've been planning on going to this really nice restaurant. I'm talking about saving money planning, because the steak itself is $50 plus the sides. You understand? So this is a special kind of, this is not your every Friday night restaurant. This is a one that we plan to go to. This is the one, when you read the website, they say that, you know, the brothers have to come with blazers on. You understand what I'm saying? And so you go there, and then you are ready to go. You got your money. You ain't worried about that. You understand? Everything is right. And so you go and you walk in, and you know, and they take you to your seat, and you're not used to them taking the napkin and putting out and laying it over your lap. You understand? You're not used to them handing you, you know, it's just a little bit different. You got it? And so you are excited. You're like, this is going to be worth it. You know, when we walk about here, we're going to spend a couple $100, but the whole experience is going to be worth it. You know, and you say, I don't want the 6 ounce filet. I know the 6 ounce is $36 and the 8 ounce filet is $47, but we might as well just go all the way today. And so let me have the 8 ounce filet and let me get me a baked potato loaded. You understand? Twice baked, if you don't mind. And because I know I need some greens, let me have either some broccoli or some asparagus, or, you know, put something on the side. And matter of fact, let me add some shrimp to the plate. Yeah. I don't want that coconut shrimp. I want the regular batter, salt, and pepper. You understand what I'm saying? Like you know what you want. And so, you know, lady says, anything else? You say no. She takes your, you know, takes your, huh? Oh, yeah. She takes your menu. You got it. She takes your order. She takes your menu. Y'all was right. Takes your order, takes your menu, and walk away. And watch this. You get your salad, but it's a little time that goes between the salad and the dinner. But for some reason, it doesn't bother you, because you are just enjoying the experience. You understand? You are enjoying the person that you're with. Everything is going good, you know. And then you notice it's 22. Your person with you says, it's been 22 minutes. Oh, it's all going to be worth it when you get here. Don't even worry about it. So about 25 minutes, here they come. So see, I told you, here they come. And the waiter comes, you know, and then the waiter puts it down and takes it off of the serving table and puts on your plate. And there you go is a big old grilled cheese sandwich and French fries. Now, prayerfully, the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your life, and you're not immediately going to go off on somebody. You got it? Prayerfully, you being a member of WLCC, you're going to wear that well. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. But watch this. But you are going to say, excuse me, ma'am. You got it. I didn't order this. I ordered an 8-ounce, not a 6-ounce, but an 8-ounce filet. You got it. With the shrimp on the side. And she says, oh, I apologize. Oh, no, no problem. No problem. No problem. And then she goes to walk away. But she didn't take the grilled cheese. And you're like, oh, ma'am, hold on. Can you please just take this back? Because I don't even want to see this because I didn't order this. And if we have enough boldness to tell the waiter or the waitress to take it back, how much more boldness should we let the devil know, if you serve something that doesn't belong to me, you can take it back? Oh my God, I'm teaching up here better than you shouting amen. Lack does not belong to me, take it back. Sickness does not belong to me, take it back. A bad relationship does not belong to me, take it back. I didn't order this, I don't want it, it's not the will of God for my life, I didn't sow that, I shouldn't reap that, take it back. Everybody say, just take it back. Just think about some things that the devil tried to send your way. And you just got to tell you, take that back. I know you thought what you thought was bad, God is turning that thing around for my good. But you can just take all of that foolishness back. You can take all that. And there was some things that was even my fault, truth be told. For a moment, I lost my mind. But you can have all of that back because now I got the mind of Christ and I'm working this thing out. Take it back. No, you better, and you got to be bold. Not just on the inside of these four walls, but on the outside of these four walls. Yeah, you got to let the devil. So if I'm in the doctor's just going for a normal checkup, you understand what I'm saying? And then, because in my mind, everything's fine. And all of a sudden, he said, well, James, I need to talk to you. I ain't getting scared. Okay, what you need to talk to me about? Oh, well, we're not positive, but we think we may have saw something. You understand? Well, you ain't saw nothing, but no problem. And he look at me like I'm funny. No, I'm going to be bold in my faith because I don't move from the word of God. Oh, my goodness. So you have to be courageous. You have to be bold. So just one more time, everybody say, take it back. Oh, my God, I did not order this. Take it back. Oh, Jesus, I want to preach with that, but I got to keep on going. I'm a teacher. I got some more points. Amen. But if you had time. Oh, my God, today, if I had time. No, let me just stop. All right. So a courageous person doesn't back down when it gets tough. Okay. I'm only on point number one. Probably going to just throw out point two and three because I want to finish this strong. Okay. So a courageous person doesn't back down when it gets tough. Don't back down when it gets tough. I remember, of course, a lot of you hear my testimony, just you heard different things about me. And I was in the Marine Corps, and so when Jay and Hannah were little, we always used to play, well, not always, but I started playing boot camp with them, you understand? I used to tell them, hey, when Dad was in the Marine Corps, I had drill instructors, and those guys were no joke, and I tell them, I had the senior, he was okay, but I had this heavy, and the heavy, I thought he was a demon himself, you understand what I'm saying? And we're just talking to him and that kind of thing, and so, and they would be inquisitive about what. And I tell them how you had to stand at attention, and they were trying to, but their feet were like that, and their hands were like that over there, but I was trying to teach them how to do it the right thing. So, no, you got to roll them shoulders back and that kind of thing, and so we were just talking, and I said, the DIs, they would scream and yell at you and that kind of thing. And so they wanted to play. And so, now I got them out on the line, left, right, I'm just doing my thing. And then we're acting like, they're at boot camp. And then all of a sudden, I told them, hey, now you can't snicker online. You can't look at me online. You can't do all these things, And so then I'm walking by and I say, Jay, look at me at the corner of his eye. I say, is that right? And I'm going off on him. You got it? And then watch this. And Jay was like, oh my God, what is going on? But you should have seen little hand over there. She's like, but I'm equal opportunity. I'm not just going to holler at Jay. I'm going to holler at Hannah too. You understand what I'm saying? And so then I see Hannah concerned for Jay. So she looks over. And I was like, oh, so you want to look at me too? Do I look cute? Do I look like your mommy? I'm going off. And she's like, woo! So she's really, I said, okay, no, never mind. No, my baby can't handle that. That's my baby. So I'm, and she says, no, but Dad, I want to do it again. Nope. So tomorrow, Dad, yeah, can we do it again? Nah, baby, no, please. Okay, all right. And so they get in line again. You got it. Same thing happened. I was like, Hannah, that's it. I'm not doing it again. And he's like, next day, Dad, please, please, I got it this time, Dad. I got it this time. And day after day after day, we did it to the point I was screaming and yelling. And Hannah was like, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Because she had the boldness and the courageous attitude to stay in the fight. If you stay in the fight, you are going to win. If you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit something. The devil has no power over you. So you got to have your mind made up that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. That I'm going to walk this word and I'm going to see this word come to pass in my life. You got it. And testimony of scripture tells me that Jesus did several things for me on the cross. And because he did all these things on me for the cross, salvation is made for me. And healing is made for me. And provision is made for me. And I'm going to walk in the liberty where Christ has already made me free. Is that 23 seconds left? Oh, man. Boy, if I had time. Now, for any of our first-time friends, if Pastor says if he has time, that means that his time has ran out. So he's going to take the next 90 seconds while Courtney plays softly to tell you if he had time. And then what I do is I ask y'all to say it. So everybody say, if he had time. If I had time, I would take you to point number two. And point number two is about being convinced. And what you have to be convinced is that the Word of God works. Like you have to be convinced no matter what comes or no matter what, the Word of God works. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the boss says. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what anybody says. The Word of God works. And it's, watch this, it is your conviction of the Word of God that keeps you in the fight, because you know the Word is real. And if I had time, I would explain to you that my faith is based on the revelation of Scripture and not the verification of senses. So I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God. If I had time, I would explain, I would do this a little analogy and explain that if the enemy can keep you in the realm of reasoning, he will defeat you again and again. He just wants you to reason, will it work or will it not work? But if you can keep him over in the realm of faith, you will defeat him again and again. Everybody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would go to my last point, point number three, and I would take you to Hebrews 10 and 23, where it says, hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I would talk to you about having faith in the faithfulness of God, because God is faithful. I would remind you that God has never, ever let you down in your life, and he's not about to start. I would remind you that he has not brought you this far just to leave you. I would remind you that if he did it before, he'll do it again. He's the same God right now. He's the same God back then. If I had time, I would tell you three things that you want to be consistent in. Number one, you want to be consistent in your confession. I'm going to say what the Word of God says, and I'm going to keep saying what the Word of God says, and I'm going to keep saying what the Word of God says. The second thing, this might surprise you, but I would tell you that not only do you have to be consistent in your confession, but you have to be consistent in your conversation. Because if you're not careful, you will wake up in the morning and you will command your day and command your morning and speak all these things of faith, but then on the job get caught up in a conversation that you ought not to be in. So not only does my confession have to be right, but my conversation has to be right. And then the last thing I would tell you to be consistent in is in your position of faith. That I'm never going to be moved from his word. That the Hebrew boys say, you could throw us in the fire if you want, but our God is well able. That they were not moved from their position of faith. Even though death was staring them, you know, right at them, they were not moved. And that's how you have to be. I'm not moved. Because the enemy, he wants to throw all these crazy thoughts to get you feeling doubtful, to get you in fear, to get you depressed, to make you feel insecure about yourself, to do all these. But you have to know who you are in God. Our confession book, we have them in the back. They're only $5 a piece, and there's confessions for anything you can imagine, for when you're pregnant, confession for marriage, confession for singles, confessions of authority, confessions of breakthrough. Just have all kind of confessions. We just give that to you because it's good, especially if you're just getting saved. Even if you're not getting saved, it's good to learn those. And one of them says, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm not conquered, but I'm more than a conqueror. My faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm hearkening diligently into the voice of the Lord. I'm committed to walk before the Lord with my whole heart. The blessings of the Lord are coming upon me and overtaking me this day, this day, I have been set on high above every evil person this day by the Lord. I'm blessing the city. How in the world do you know that whole confession? Because in the beginning, I opened that book and I kept reading it. And then on Tuesday, I read it. And on Wednesday, I read it. And on Thursday, I read it. And not overnight, but over time, it stopped being something I read and something that got down on the inside of me that gave me a conviction that the word of God will always work. Always work. So don't take this the wrong way, but if you messed up, I don't want to hear about it. Number one, it ain't my business. And God's love covers that. And his grace covers that. And the trick of the enemy, I didn't do this at the night, but this is, I'm by the Spirit of God, the trick of the enemy is when we make a mistake for the enemy to keep us back over here. Back over here in the dark, back over here away from everybody, when God wants us to keep walking in the light and around people of the light. Does that make sense? So don't sweat it. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. So you got to make it up in your mind. That's right. Wait a minute. The devil been trying to fool me. The blood of Jesus has taken care of everything. His mercy renews every day. His grace is sufficient for my life. And God loves me. I like to tell people that if in heaven, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's how much he loves you. You know how we do with our kids. You know, nowadays we don't really do the magnets on the refrigerator like we used to. You understand? But you understand the analogy. Now we got, you know, let me see. Who's on this one? Hannah and a horse. You got it. Oh, did you not see it? Yeah, Hannah with her horse. So we put them on our screensavers and that kind of thing. But if God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it because that's how much he loves you. And he's made a decision that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, he's never, ever going to change his mind about you. So let me help you. Don't you ever change your mind about yourself. Regardless of what you've been through, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Regardless of what you've been through, you are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. And I don't care if you're down right now. If you would just lend your hand to God, he'll help you and he'll raise you up to where you need to be. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, just give me 2 or 3 minutes, please, if you could just.